our salvation. How sure are you of it? Well, tonight's one of the verses has a statement that stuck with me as I was reading through this for my devotions recently. I want to start reading in verse 3, and let's see if this will be a blessing to your heart as much as the Lord helped it to be a blessing to mine, and revisiting some things that this world is such a wicked place. We need to be strong in the Lord. Amen. And where does that relationship start? With our salvation. How sure are we of our salvation? But starting in verse 3, we'll read to verse 9. If you can, please stand. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Kind of ties into part of what Pastor spoke about this morning. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, wow, and undefiled, even greater, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's ask the Lord for his wisdom again, please. Heavenly Father, you've stirred my heart, just helping me to concentrate on how important my life is in your hands and in your care. And after 40-some years of salvation, I'm not a newborn Christian as I once was, frequently doubting, going through difficulties of when there was no church for me to attend. I had to rely close to a year on the spiritual strength I could glean directly from your word myself as I was at a remote Air Force base. And yet, you calling my life into Christian service to be a teacher, and how you've allowed me to grow and develop into the Christian that I've become. We don't understand whatever stage of our spiritual walk we are in. We face circumstances in this world that in my mind and thinking would only take place after the rapture. And yet that hasn't occurred yet. We're still here because we are your faithful servants to love this lost world still and minister to it, so that they can learn the truth. So make us strong. Help us to be dependable servants for you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please be seated. Peter, we know, was one of the 12 original apostles. He was the one that had to stick his foot in his mouth on a regular basis, probably, right? He liked to say things maybe before he thought about them too much at times. At least you read through his life and all the incidents. And yet, what did God do with such a stumbling, bumbling man that couldn't always control his tongue and very likely maybe not even his temper? What were some of Peter's accomplishments? Leo? Have you walked on water? I have. It was frozen. But Peter, it wasn't frozen. It was a storm. Would our faith be strong enough to have taken that step? He was the only one that got out of the boat, wasn't he? So as much trouble as God used him to do a great thing like that. What else is he very famous for? Linda? He was the main speaker on the day that 3,000 souls believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll talk about, have gone through that in Acts a little bit. That's a mighty big accomplishment too. Who was the first one to go into the empty tomb? Go in. Peter. Somebody else beat him to the doorway. But he didn't go in. Peter went in. So even though his life seemed to have many places of stumbling, he accomplished some milestone achievements for our Savior. So he's writing this. In the first couple of verses, say he's writing it to the scattered church. Well, what did Jesus tell the disciples to do when he went up to heaven? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But he gave them another command. Wait until you have the power to do it. So they waited. And how did the Holy Spirit reveal himself to them? Tongues of fire, the preaching, thousands of souls saved in the city of Jerusalem. So this was primarily to Jewish people. Many of the same ones that walked on the same streets as Jesus walked, at the same time Jesus walked. Maybe they were part of the crowds that followed him. I have no doubt that some of them were the ones that shouted, "Crucify him!" I bet some of those folks found that Jesus was not the fake who needed to be crucified, so they thought. But we don't know. It was Jewish people. He's writing this letter to them because when they get saved in Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders still didn't like it. They did everything they could to ruin the lives of Christians. Thus, it talks about some of the great tribulation that they endured. And for some of them, they couldn't take the tribulation. So they scattered. And it lists some of the places. But one other phrase that got me thinking about it is in verse 3. Blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does God need blessing? That's a thought I had. Blessed be the God. Why does God need blessing? Do you have anything come to mind? Care to share a thought? I've thought about it a little bit. This morning, and again this afternoon. Why does God need blessing? He's God! Says that he blesses us. But the thought I have, blessed be God. I hope some of the things that I share with you will help answer that question. But does anyone still have a response you want to try to give? A thought that the Holy Spirit may have given you already? Because I don't think there's a wrong answer. Okay. But what brings God blessing? That was the second question I thought about for me. What brings God blessing? We're going to talk about it. Pardon? Yes. Lives who are selfish and sinful and following our own path, and we follow what the scripture says, we gain God's grace and mercy and get salvation, and then our lives change. So every life that gets saved and changed to become a blessing for God, we're all a part of that. That's where our lives need to be every single day. Hopefully every moment of every day. We can be a blessing for God. That's our answer. Now, we're going to talk about some of the degrees. How can we be a blessing? Some more of the verses, actually to the end of chapter 1, I want to bring about a couple of thoughts. Ways we can be more of a blessing for God. But thank you for answering. See, this is the teacher mode in me. It's kind of like chapel. I want you engaged. I want you answering my questions sometimes. That's why I'm not a preacher. I can't just stand up there and talk. I need interaction. And I get that with the students usually. But we know in verse 3, it also says, what makes God's blessing? It says he's blessed with his son. Oh, that's a given. Yes? But why is Jesus a blessing to God? He is a second person of the Trinity. I was reminded that there are at least two facts that Jesus was not willing to share with the disciples. One of them, Pastor talked about this morning. Who's going to be on Jesus' sides? Well, I don't really understand that one, because one of them is going to be God the Father. If Jesus is on God's right hand, then who's on Jesus' left hand? God the Father. But who's going to be next in the glory and the brightness that God has reserved the spot? I believe Jesus knows the answer. I believe he knew the answer when the disciples asked him. But he said, I'm not going to tell you. That's a surprise. Who's on God's other side? I don't think it tells us in the scripture. But I have a pretty good guess. God the Holy Spirit? Be on God the Father's other side? But who's next to him? And then you see places that God has from the foundation of the world, it says. Pastor gave some really good examples of people who are going to be close to God's throne in his opinion. But he's not the one giving the places, is he? And likely comparing our lives to the lives of those missionaries. Thinking down through the years, where's the Apostle Paul going to be? Where are the other disciples going to be who were faithful serving the Lord? You say, where's Moses? Where's Abraham going to be? Where are all those great Bible characters? Daniel, Joseph. Okay. Wow, if we're in a millionth place, I still think we're in pretty good relationship. But God's Son brings God glory. And then look what else it says in verse 3. It says us. Where does it say us in verse 3? Let's start at the beginning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Oh, we're included. That's what brings it to my heart. Is my life doing the things that bring God a blessing? Well, we say that when we help someone, we do something for someone else, we're praying for someone, we say, as a phrase, people will thank you for the blessing that we were to them. Yes? But all praise and glory goes directly to God, so even though along the way we're a blessing to other people, that's our method of being a blessing to God. Be a blessing to other people. But we are included in verse 3 as having the opportunity to be a blessing to God. But to what extent? Are there some better instructions to follow than just say, help other people, be kind and do things, serve God? Jesus was a blessing because he fulfilled 100% of God's expectations. And as a person of God, he had the infinite wisdom and strength to accomplish God the Father's wishes. And we have to struggle with our sin and our trials and tribulations, but are we at least attempting to meet all of God's expectations? Are we striving to do more tomorrow than we did today, or than we did last week, than we did last year? How is your spiritual life growing? Are we meeting God's expectations for us? That brings blessing to God. If Jesus met God's expectations, we're his children, we liked it when our children met our expectations, and sometimes continue to do so. And as a dad, it brings great pleasure to my heart. The same is true of our Heavenly Father. Let's look at verse 6. I think of how are we going to better accomplish this. I believe Peter has written some ideas that can put in our mind to give us pegs that we can use. And I'm just touching a few of them. If you read through, the Holy Spirit might guide you to some of the other pegs of how we can meet God's expectations. Verses 6 and 7, I believe, give some indication. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Do you meet God's expectation to keep a joyful spirit, even though the world is trying to knock you completely out of doing what God wants you to do? Our government said, stay home. Well, our pastor and our church continued to have opportunity for open service. Amen. We spaced out. I don't think that's risking. We're trusting God that we're going to meet his expectation of coming to church. And our church is small enough and we have enough space. I think that helped along the way, but we have got to do the things that God wants us to do. The temptation, I'll stay at home. President says it's good to, doctors say it's good to. Yeah? I know of only one person personally that has tested positive, one of our school parents. A son did not test positive as we're finishing the school year. So I know it's real, but God's expectation, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I believe it's a wise choice. Be cautious, follow the guidelines? Yes, I believe we're doing that. But that's a temptation. But there's even a more important reason than that, because verse 7 talks about overcoming, verse 9. The next peg to help us accomplish God's expectation. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Well, you notice, I'm sure, if your Bible has the italicized words, that's a word that was added by the translators to try to give us a good sense of a better sense of understanding. But if you read it without the word your, the salvation of souls, does that not also make a clear vision for why God wants us enduring temptation? The salvation of souls, lost and dying souls. We need to be a part of that. That is fulfilling one of God's expectations. He told the disciples, go when you have power. Okay, so how do we get power? We first get saved. Then we grow in God's grace and mercy and understanding until we can learn the message and share it with other people. That's all it is. Have you ever written out your salvation testimony? What do you remember exactly happened that made you want salvation? I don't remember the exact verses. I remember the person who led me to the Lord. I remember the exact day. I was in my dorm room in Homestead, Florida, getting ready to go bowling. I was in a bowling team for my squadron. And a co-worker brought a deacon, Bill Fortune, to my room. Asked if I had time to discuss some of the things that I had been asked. Did I know for sure I was going to heaven? I had about 45 minutes before I had to be at the bowling alley, which was 2 minutes away by foot. And the Lord helped me to just stop and listen to what he had to say. And I thankfully trusted Christ. I don't remember exactly what he said. But I've learned 4 good things. Do I know I've sinned? The wages of sin is death. Pastor shared them again this morning. Jesus paid the price for my sin, and all I had to do was call on him. Those are verses that I share with many people. That's the gospel. That's what I give as my testimony, and you should write it out. You should make sure you rehearse it in your mind so that when the opportunity comes and someone says, well, what did you do to get saved? Tell them. That's all you have to do. And if you can learn scripture verses, take them through more of the Romans road, there are other passages to use, but we have got to spread the gospel. The salvation of souls. First our soul, then we go to others. I didn't get very far yet, did I? I'm supposed to be done soon. Look at verse 13, another peg. What is your mindset? What is your mindset of being a blessing to God? Do you think often, how can I be a blessing to God today? Why not? We'll read verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up. Did you get a picture of a ribbon being tied around a package? Maybe some string tying a box closed or tape. Gird up. bind something together, build up, strengthen your mind. So what are you thinking? Think often, I've got to be a blessing for God today. Why? Well, he's given you eternal life. He's blessed your life far better than you could have done yourselves. There are a lot of reasons. But your mindset, you've got to think, I've got to bless God today. I really wish people in our church would come to me and say, the Lord's put a song on my heart and I would like to sing a special. People ask me, do I ever get tired of singing specials? My daughter and I are about the only ones recently. Why? Because I haven't had other people coming to me and asking me. I've tried asking other people to get a special ready. You have a joy in your heart. You can't help but keep the joy of the Lord in sometimes. Say, oh, don't sound good. Are you singing because I ask you, or are you singing because God wants you to be a blessing to everybody who's ready to worship with you? But think of that. If you have any desire to sing at all, how often do I beat out every... I don't really know how to lead music. I just enjoy singing so much. But you're loud! Yes? I love singing loud when I can. But just make yourself available for doing something to worship God. The mindset. And then we have a hope. Talks about it several times through the passage. But I want to go on beyond this opening part. Obedient children. How can I be more obedient to my Heavenly Father? Well, has to be saved. Have to be sure of your salvation. Have confidence that God saved you so that you're not limited in wanting to share. I tried doing everything I could when I was in junior high to get out of oral reports. And I made it all the way up till eighth grade. And I had an English teacher that said, no written, must do oral reports. I did not want to do that. How could the Lord make me a teacher? Well, I wasn't saved then, so the Lord has had to help me to get past that. I don't really like being up in front of everybody. That's not natural to me. But it's not the natural man that serves my Savior. He's got to give me the confidence. And now I've been up in front of people. I don't have nearly the reservation I used to, but it just doesn't come naturally. But if I can do it to serve the Lord, to teach young people in school, teach chapel, to teach an occasional message to the church, I praise the Lord. He's helped me to overcome that. But we have to have confidence. Look at verse 16. As free, and yet using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as to the servants of God. That is not the verse I was wanting. There's a verse that gives, that's chapter 2, that's why. Verse 13, wherefore gird up your mind, the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. No, I want verse 15. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I wrote down the wrong verse number. Verse 15. It is verse 16. Sorry. I wrote it down and trying to push through. Folks, let's be holy. Amen. Holy in our speech, holy in our dress, our appearance. When we come to church, do we give God our best? No, there will be times where we can't. I know some people rush to church and they're in their work clothing. No, the purpose is worship. But when we have the opportunity, be holy. I think that means God wants our best in everything. Do you bring your best to God? Be a blessing for others. But be ye holy, for I am holy, I think goes a long way. Most of us that have learned from Scripture, we know a lot of things that are unholy. Let's don't do those. Just don't do what you know is unholy. That'll be a step in the right direction. Verse 16, be holy for I am holy. That's an obedient child. There are lots of other places that teaches the same thing. How long do we have to be holy? Till the Lord comes back. Verse 21. Verses 20 and 21. Starting in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now he's talking to people who were alive the first century after Christ was resurrected. These first generation of Christians, they were going through tough times. And even Paul thought the Lord would come back while he was alive. He mentions that in some of his writings. We still have to have the hope that he's coming back. Verse 21, for by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Till the Lord comes back. We've heard that before. I never thought I would have had children before the Lord came back. Because in 1975, a preacher came to our church in South Florida preaching the Lord's coming back. And he was a pretty prominent fundamental pastor. He said, the Lord's coming back before Christmas, 1975. Oh no! I had just gotten engaged! Our wedding, December 20th! When Mrs. Dahlman had a break from school. Lord, I probably won't even have children. That didn't work for him. My baby's not a baby anymore. I have grandchildren. Never thought. At least not back then. So I'm just going to give up? No, I'm waiting for him to come back, as I'm sure most of you are. How long should we be searching for the complete salvation of our soul? Till the Lord takes all your breath out? And some of us have trouble breathing, right, Miss Brenda? But the Lord's sustaining her. I've met preachers who've been up into their 90s, and they'd stand up after or during their message and say, I really think the Lord's coming back before I pass. Well, I'm estimating the last person that I remember saying that was about 20 years ago. So are we just going to give up? No, we still have hope. Yeah. Why? Because God's promises are true. He says it's going to happen. And there's a special blessing, a special crown for those who keep the hope up. Keep serving. Do whatever you can to find ways to love God, serve God, be the obedient child God wants you to be. And verse 25 says, for all eternity. There's our goal. Imagine for all eternity. So, a couple of questions. Where do you fit? Are you just recently saved and haven't grown much in the Lord? I know a good many of you, and I don't see anyone's in that category that within the last few months or years, maybe. Okay? So what's the second step after you've been saved for a short time? Have you grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord where you're confident in your salvation? Where the confidence in your salvation stirs you to be ministering to other people? Are you serving? Most of us are almost past the place where we can do a lot of serving anymore. We just physically don't have the ability and the strength. So do you stop? Or do you spend a lot more time praising God in other ways, praying for the needs of people? Hey, when you physically can't do, you can still spiritually do things. Amen. Keep that up. Stay faithful. As long as the Lord gives us breath, He's coming back still. And as I already made the statement, I never would have thought our world would have some of the difficulties. I always applied those to things after the rapture. Well, does that mean I should quit? No. Because the scripture says stay faithful to the end. And that's what we need to be encouraged to do. There was another statement I've been reading in James. And I'm going to end with this one statement. Remember, the scripture says faith without works is dead. You've got to show works to show your faith. Doesn't give you salvation, but your faith is going to have works to reveal that person's doing things for God. So let's make it a challenge that we're going to do.